arma virumque cano, Troiae qui primus aboris Italia, fato profugus laviniaque venit litoram multil, et terris iactatur ab alto vi superum saevae memorem unionis ab iram.
The CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind. Today, The Seven Hills, a personality sketch of one of the world's great capitals, the eternal city of Rome, and of its seemingly indestructible citizenry, the Romans. I sing of arms and of the men who, driven from the shores of heroic Troy, pursued by the savage wrath of unforgiving Juno on high, wandered from coast to coast until they found refuge in fair Italia and on Latium soil set up their hearts and homes. It's no use, honey. Even when I just try to follow the sense instead of old Virgil's words, I still can't put a decent verse together in English.
Oh.
100 men must have translated this 100 times better than I ever will.
Don't worry, darling.
Rufino!
What is that?
Un momento.
Hey. Here. Hey. Ah, sister. Hey. Come, sister.
Shh, let's listen.
Buongiorno, Rufino. At last I have caught you.
What can I do for you, sister?
For me? No, it is for you this time. I have the bargain, cigarette.
French again?
No, per l'amore. American, fresh. 1,000 cartons. And only 1,500 lira a carton.
You've been drinking again? That makes it 1.5 million for the lot.
Nearly 100% profit for you, Rufino.
Not anymore. You can buy a fundata on the legal market. I give you 1 million.
1,400.
Let's not bargain like two children who do not know each other, sister. Where are those cigarettes?
In the harbor at Anzio. But we will unload and deliver them here, if you like.
No. The warehouse in Ostia would be better. All right, I'll give you 1,200 a carton and not a lira more.
Ebbene, Rufino. But you leave me no profit. Still, let us go and arrange the details over a glass of that fine new wine at Terzetta's.
What was all that about, Peter?
A little business deal, Roman style, if my Italian did not deceive me.
Black market?
Uh-huh. American cigarettes. Thus are the mighty fallen. Oh, well. As Sallust said long ago, omnia venalia Romae.
Who was Sallust and what does it mean?
Sallust, my pet, was a so-called classical Roman poet of the first century before Christ. And his crack means, all things are for sale in Rome.
Oh.
Now, I'd better get back to my misbegotten attempts to adapt Virgil to our own benighted language. Oh. Mine is a song of arms and of the man of Troy. Now what for the love of...
Prego, cittadini! Per favore!
Passi! Noi siamo monarchici!
What was that? Sounded like an election fight back home.
That's what it was, all right. A sober discussion of vital issues in the coming election with modern trimmings. This bloody assignment's getting me down, Ruth. And I thought it'd be so easy to do it right here, right in the old Roman Forum, where Virgil himself must have walked 1,000 times. But who can concentrate with all this turmoil going on?
Oh, Peter, don't fret so.
Easier said than done. Come on, honey, let's go back to the hotel. At least we can take off our shoes there and have a drink ourselves.
All right, but just give me a minute, darling. Look, you see how the sun falls on those columns over there? I just want to take one quick picture.
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Only don't ask me to stand in front of that masonry. Atmosphere. There. bounce, you historic pebble. Bounce on from marble slab to broken column. See if you can find me some atmosphere. Atmosphere. That's what they said when they finally gave me my sabbatical. Drink in the atmosphere. Search for new understandings. Drink in the carbon monoxide from those crazy motor scooters they drive around here. The intoxicating odor of ripe black market deals. Or maybe the gentle whispers that trail in the wake of political candidates.
Would the Signor perhaps have us stop the traffic and evacuate our city so that visitors can indulge themselves in our atmosphere?
What? Oh, I didn't say that, sir.
To us, young man, the city is a living creation, not a stage setting. It is our home and has been for nearly 3,000 years. Yes, of course, things are as they are. Like all living things, a city changes, always changes. Not always the way we might wish, of course, but as history wills it. Yet it seems also to be true that the more it changes, the more it remains the same. And as to atmosphere, it is said that the past is the key to the present. Does this not also indicate that the present, in turn, may give us a key to the past? The soul of a people is an enduring thing, far more resistant to the ravages of time than marble buildings and monuments.
Yeah, I think I see what you're driving at.
Look around you, then, but with the eyes and ears of your soul. Then you might find the key.
Ruth!
Oh, Peter.
What happened, honey? What was the matter?
Well, it's all right now, darling. I was just frightened for a moment.
What was it? Tell me.
Well, it was nothing, really. I went along down the other side of that wall there. Huh? There's a little road that runs behind it to get the right angle for my picture. And then a man came along and started saying things to me. In Italian, I guess. And I didn't understand him, but I thought he was offering to help me with my tripod.
So
I kept smiling at him, and maybe I said, see, a couple of times, and then, oh, it's too silly, darling.
Then what? Come on.
Well, then he, he pinched me.
Well, is that all? I thought you were being murdered.
Well, I might have been.
Well, then you shouldn't go hiding behind walls and walking up deserted alleys in strange cities just for that reason. Come on now, let's go home and have lunch. We've still got to climb up to the top of that monstrosity of a monument this afternoon. And tomorrow we leave for Pompeii, remember? Say, where'd he go?
What? Where'd who go?
The old codger. The one I was talking to just before you screamed.
Well, I don't know, darling. I didn't see anybody, and I don't now.
I know. That's what's puzzling me. There isn't enough cover where we were to hide a kid of two.
Well, maybe he left.
Well, he wouldn't have had time to get out to the street. Oh, well, let's go. Hot rotters with spaghetti sauce. Well, here we are at the nation's tribute to the memory of Vittorio Emanuele II, King of Savoy and Sardinia, the man who made one Italy where there used to be a dozen or two. Well, might as well begin climbing. Come on, honey, let's start. Well, we've made the first level anyway.
How many are there?
Three. You'd think they'd have an elevator in a place like this. Okay, let's get on with it. Getting old, honey. Well, only one more flight to go.
Look, what a view. Look, you can see the whole city.
Yeah.
And there's the Tiber. And look, look. Isn't that the old forum down there where we were this morning?
Yeah, I think it is.
And on the other side... Oh, Peter, what is that building on top of that hill? Such a beautiful color that stone has in this light.
That is the former royal palazzo on the Quirinal Hill, Signora.
Who are you?
Why, Signor. Honey, this is the gentleman I was talking to in the forum this morning.
Tullio, Magister. Marco Tullio.
Harwell is our name, Signor Tullio. This is my wife, Ruth, and I'm Peter Harwell. Hey, what happened to you this morning?
Yes, my husband was worried about you.
Oh, I regret it. I have distressed other new acquaintances with this bad habit of taking my leave too quickly. But let me explain for the signora the meaning of that rectangle of broken pavement in the forum beneath us. It is one of the two things responsible for Rome's timeless influence on human thought and institutions.
Two things?
Look around, if you will. Do you notice that the hill upon which we are standing is surrounded by a number of others, which form a semicircle?
Oh, of course. The hills of Rome.
The seven hills, exactly. And the one we are standing on is the Mons Capitolinus, where ancient Rome built the temples consecrated to her most all-high gods and goddesses. Temples to Jupiter Capitolinus, Juno, and Minerva. And right there stood the Arx, the fortress which gave refuge to Romans, women, and children whenever the city below fell prey to marauding enemies.
But I thought Rome never had been conquered.
Conquered? Never, Signora. But occupied? Often. Most recently by your own countrymen.
You were going to tell me about that pavement.
Oh, yes, the pavement. You will be interested in that broken bit of pavement square down there in the forum. Nearly every basic concept of law by which the world now lives was formulated, debated, developed, or often bloodily contested in that small historic arena. That plain, dark building across the square, the Curia, was for centuries the seat of the world's most powerful legislative body. Your own most august chamber of lawmakers is named after it. It is the Roman Senate. I think perhaps I would like to show you... May the gods grant you to see the life of the old forum.
What is this path, Peter?
I don't know. Signor Tullio?
It is the Clivus Capitolinus, the sacred road, by which in ancient times the triumphal processions ascended from the Forum to the top of the Capitoline Hill to pay tribute to Jupiter. It has not been much used for some time, of course.
Look, Peter, look! It's all changing. The temples are rising.
So they are.
Look, look, look at that one straight ahead. I remember it from this morning. There were only a few columns standing then. And those beautiful buildings.
The Temple of Saturnus. You see it now as it stood for so many glorious centuries.
What's that noise?
Oh, the usual crowd in the forum.
Peter?
It's okay, honey. Just people.
There weren't any people this morning.
Well, there are a lot of people now.
They are campaigning for an election here, too. I suggest that we remain close to this wall if we want to see what is going on. The crowd is too dense to allow us to move about freely.
Who's that?
On the rostra there? No. One of the candidates for tribune, I believe. If he is elected, he will be expected to be a model of probity, a defender of the rights and interests of the people. In the meantime, he is talking the customary nonsense and telling the usual lies, I suppose.
I'd like to hear what he's saying.
Well, then, let us move around to the front of the rostra. Come.
Signor Tullio, are you hurt?
No damage.
What's going on?
Wait for me.
Sextus. Salve.
Salve, Rufus.
In what way can I assist you?
None, Rufus. Not this time. I shall assist you instead. I have 3 shiploads of North African wheat.
It is probably from Lucania.
From Lucania? It is the best of the best, straight from Carthage, and at a price you cannot afford to reject. 100% profit for you.
Where is this wheat now?
In the harbor at Portus. But we will unload and deliver it...
The warehouse in Ostia might be best. But I warn you, Sextus, I will not pay more than 50% of the closing price on the legal market today.
You drive a hard bargain, Rufus. But let us see if we can come to terms over a cup of that fine new wine at Zetta's.
Peter!
It's Ruth. Ruth, where are you? Out of my way. Scusi. Scusi. Laura, Scusi. Out of my way. Please get out of my way. Oh, shut up. Honey! Honey!
Oh, Peter.
Oh, honey, are you all right, Ruth?
Yes, darling, I'm all right. Now that you're here.
The signora is unharmed.
Oh, she's all right, I guess. Where were you?
Oh, Peter, it is so silly. It's just like this morning. I wandered over by the wall, and then this man came along. A Roman in one of those togas. Real silk, too. And he said something to me that I didn't understand. So I smiled at him, and I guess I said something silly like, CC again. And then he sort of leaned over as if he wanted to protect me from the crowd, and then...
He pinched you.
How did you know?
Just intuition, I guess. Besides, you're beginning to make kind of a habit of
it. Yes, but you don't understand, Peter.
Oh, never mind that now. Signor Tullio, how can we get out of here?
We could make our way around the back of the speaker's rostra and then up that path to the curia. It is also our pathway back to modern Rome.
Okay. Let's go, honey.
But, Peter, just a minute. You still don't understand.
Don't understand what?
This one pinched me on the other side. I can hardly walk.
The men of Rome in all ages, signora, have made a principle of expressing their admiration for beauty enthusiastically and directly. So back now to the modern age.
So you managed to get us to your beloved curia after all, Signor Tullio.
I hold precious memories of this building, and proud ones too. It was from here we once ruled a world, and for centuries we secured the peace for all those who put their faith in Rome. And we taught them law, not laws, Magister, but law itself. The universal principles of right and wrong, and both the rights and the responsibilities of individuals in relation to their communities, their duties to their world. You yourself, Magister, live in a faraway land, which had not even been heard of by any of the men who sat in the curia. Yet you live by many of the rules we shaped here in the Senate of the ancient and eternal Rome.
Did I hear you say we rule the world and so forth?
Do you mean to tell me, Magister, that a man of your learning has never heard of Marcus Tullius Flavianus, the most outspoken, if not the most revered, senator of his era?
Oh, yes, of course.
If you have not, young man, I invite you to examine the base, which is all that remains, of the 4th seat from the left on the 2nd tier in the curia here. I believe you will still find there the evidence of my youthful vanity inscribed with a stylus.
No proof is needed, Senator. And I want to thank you, Senator. We both do.
Oh, no need, Magister. And now, I suppose the time has come to say, valete.
We sincerely regret it, Senator.
Do not waste time with regrets, Magister. Life has manifold necessities. Allow me a final suggestion. This will be your last night in Rome, and there will be a full moon. Do not neglect, Magister, to take your devoted lady to the Colosseum tonight. The view of the half-destroyed curves and arches of that ancient structure of joy and pain, bathed in the radiance of the moon, is generally sufficient to wipe out anyone's concern about his ability to sense the Roman atmosphere and to respond to it.
Thank you for the suggestion, Senator.
I shall certainly follow it, sir.
So, now, my friends, fortunus vobiscum. Perhaps we shall meet again, if you ever return.
But how shall we find you, Senator?
This flat stone upon which I've been sitting is the cover for the entrance to that tomb behind me. Should you ever return to Rome and find the tomb closed, knock long and hard, or push a message through one of the cracks. Then we shall see. Valete.
Valle!
Goodbye, Senator.
There are but seven hills in Rome, and they not high. They girdle close the ancient marbled square, where men so long were free to hear, debate, and think, and shape the laws which guide us still today. 1,000 years of peace were nurtured here, 1,000 years of order, and through order, justice, mankind's most precious heritage. It is this, and an unquenchable thirst for life, that are the undying glories of Rome's seven hills.
You've been listening to the CBS Radio Workshop and the Seven Hills, a fanciful sketch of the unique personality of one of the world's most ancient cities, Eternal Rome. Written by Henry E. Fritsch, with music composed and conducted by Alfredo Antonini, produced and directed in New York by Paul Roberts. Ernest Graves was heard as Peter, Leslie Woods as Ruth. Others in the cast included Louis Van Ruten, Leon Janney, Danny Acco, Ralph Camargo, Dick Shepard, Bob O'Connor, Guy Repp, Bob Dryden, and Joe Helgeson. This is Ted Pearson inviting you to listen again next week to the CBS Radio Workshop on the CBS Radio Network.